Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. I'm still battling this cold. Welcome to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is September 5th, and I'm your host, Joanne. The call-in number is 347-945-5423. Don't forget to rate the show once we're done. Oh, gosh, guys, Monday, September 8th, 2008, Daniel Kennedy, who plays Petey Cortland, will be on the show. September 9th, we'll have Kristen Alderson. And I would love for you guys to go visit the website for further details on next week's guests. We have a packed week, and it's sure to be exciting. I'm going to bring some callers on the line while I'm waiting for our guest tonight, Mr. John Engel. Let's see here, 512, hello.
Hey, Joanne, it's Brandon.
Hi, Brandon.
How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm muddling through this.
Yeah, you don't sound too well.
I know. Oh, gosh, my head feels like it's going to pop.
I feel horrible for you.
No, I'll be all right. I'm glad that I can at least laugh about it right now. Still waiting for our guest to call in. I hope this is not a repeat, because I'll be really mad if it is. Let's see who else we have here. Area code 312 is Buddy Tony.
Hey, Joanne and Brandon, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Tony.
All right,
hi.
How you doing, Brandon?
Okay. Pretty good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Well, the weather's a little better in Chicago than it was last night. Man, we got pounded by that remnants of Hurricane Gustav last night with 2 to 4 inches of rain in the area.
Oh,
it's a lot
wow.
better tonight, but it's a lot better tonight.
Yeah, well, but we're getting it over here now, over in Hamburg. It's nasty. It's damp. It's blah.
Yeah, but
blah. That's you know.
Yeah, but if nothing compares to what's about to happen in the southeastern United States over the weekend with Tropical Storm Hannah about to strike the coasts of Georgia and South Carolina, North Carolina, and go up the eastern seaboard this weekend. And, of course, there's a hurricane out in the Atlantic that may strike the southern tip of Florida next week.
Right. No, I know. My father, I spoke to him this morning, and he runs a business down there, a senior citizens over 55 living place, whatever you want to call it. And he told me that they were preparing for the storms. When I spoke to him earlier, he said it was really, really nasty down there today.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, I left Florida just in time, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you certainly did, Joanne, because you don't want to be down there at this time, especially with tropical storm and hurricane season going on down there.
Oh, I know.
You were on the coast once, Joanne.
Yeah,
huh?
I was right in Fort Lauderdale. So, yeah, we were right there, right on the East Coast. And we went through Hurricane Wilma, which was awful. We went for weeks, no electricity, no nothing, living out of coolers, no water, no nothing. It was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something I care to do again, ever.
Well, I live in the middle of Texas, so every once in a while something will come through Houston and we'll get kind of the remnants of something, but I enjoy being pretty landlocked.
Yeah. We're on the lake now, so I don't really think, it'll be too much. My sister said last winter, over here, they did get a ton of snow, but nothing that you can't deal with.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got a 15-year-old kid and a 15-year-old nephew. They'll get their tails out there shoveling, buddy. See you later. At least I don't got to shovel snow.
Okay. You're supposed to have a guest on tonight, John Engel.
I know. He didn't call in yet, so I'm just, holding off here. I said, gosh, I hope it's not one of these repeats again.
Well, I just looked at the rundown you just ran down for next week's schedule. It says, you said it's a jam-packed week, right?
It is. We're missing one day that I'm working on right now to make it a full week.
Thursday.
So,
Thursday.
Yeah.
Wow. But I'm so excited for next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. I am so excited because you got Kristen Allerson on Tuesday night from One Life to Live. One Life to Live. On Wednesday night, you got Chrishell Stotts, who plays Amanda Dillon, my good friend, Chrishell Stotts, from All My Children.
That's right.
And then next Friday night, you got a doubleheader.
Jason
Tam, who plays Marco. I wish he had Brittany Underwood, too, because it would have been pretty cool to have them both.
I know.
Yeah, it would have been pretty cool to have them both. But one's good enough, but I guess one's enough. Maybe if we get Brittany to open for next Thursday, hey, we could get her in there.
I already sent it out. Let's see what happens. Matter of fact, let me bring, and Bob Kinney, yes.
Bob Kinney and Eden Riegel next week with their new show, new internet cooking show, Cooking to Get Lucky. And that's, I can't wait to talk to them, too.
Yeah, did anybody see the promo for Cooking to Get Lucky? Did anybody watch any of the episodes?
Yeah, I watched the preview on YouTube, of the little promo they did on YouTube. And yeah, it looks like it's gonna be a good show because the banter back and forth and the combination and the chemistry between Eden and Bob look incredible, amazing. And I think it's gonna be pretty good.
Well, I'm not mistaken, they have two episodes up.
They do?
I just didn't get over there to watch them yet. They do. So
I gotta check them out. And I may get a report back next week and find out, tell you about it.
Right.
If we don't get a guest showing up next week, I'll be able to tell you a little bit about it.
I'm definitely gonna try and watch that this weekend and see what that's all about. And just so everybody knows, Jason Tam will be on at 9, and Bob and Eden will be on at 10:30. So.
Are we gonna go for a full 2 hours next week?
Well, we'll have a half-hour break in between. It doesn't allow you to overlap segments, so we'll have a half-hour break in between. Anyway, tonight's guest portrays the gruff but kind-hearted Edward Quartermain on ABC's longtime soap, GH, and he certainly won his fans over completely. He's one of those love to hate kind of guys, and I think it's more so leaning towards the love lately. You know, he's been very, very generous and kind-hearted towards Lulu. Not so gruff, you know. It's getting very interesting. He's on The Jury, with Johnny Zakara's trial.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the T-shirts say, I want to be a Quartermain. I mean, who doesn't? I believe, seriously, I think we have Mr. John Engel on the phone. John, is that you?
Yes, it certainly is, Joanne.
How are you, John?
I'm just fine out here in magnificent California, sitting outside looking at a gorgeous sunset. It was hot today, but it's very nice now.
Well, lucky you, because it's rainy and damp up in Buffalo, and Florida's getting slammed, so you're just in, like,
the sick
of the nation right now.
Well, I called Billy Warlock today in New York, and I said, are you going to have rain this weekend? Because Billy's my closest friend. And he said, yes, I think we will. So I guess that Hannah, or whatever her name is going up that East Coast.
Yeah.
Are you
my
in Buffalo? Is that where you are?
Yeah, I'm up in Buffalo. Up in a little, right outside Hamburg, New York.
Okay, near our mythical Port Charles.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I didn't even think about it like that. Yes, I'm so far up there, I didn't even think about it like that.
Yes, I am. You're somewhere up there, because sometimes the wardrobe people kind of put our women, especially, in very kind of spaghetti strap sort of things, and I think, wait a minute, in New York, it's cold.
the wardrobe department really does not dress the characters well for the seasons, that's for sure.
For the seasons, that's right.
You see Jason walking around in that heavy-duty leather in the middle of summer, there's a problem.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, he has to wear leather, come on.
Ooh. I wouldn't want to stand too close to him if it was that hot, that's for sure.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I have on the line with us, John, I have Brandon and Tony.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. How you doing, man?
Hello,
John?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Yes. I said on the line I have Brandon and Tony. They're joining me this evening.
Okay, good.
Okay. Hi, John, how are you doing?
Just fine, thank you. Just fine.
Sounds good. I'll tell you what, I enjoy you on the show, especially with the scenes with you and Jane Elliott, who plays Tracy, and Leslie Charles, who plays Monica. And, of course, Bergen Williams, who plays the big old housekeeper. What's her name? What's her name?
Alice.
Big Alice.
Yeah, the wrestler.
Love Alice.
You guys, your scenes are hilarious when you guys get together, when the quartermans get together at the house.
Well, unfortunately, they, as you know, they have killed most of the quartermain family.
You said it, because I was just going to bring that up.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. And, you know, I talk with Stuart Damon every day of the week, and I just think it's the worst thing they could have done to take him out as a live person from our family, because it took away any romance for Monica, and it took away the father-son, Edward being disappointed in Alan, et cetera, and that bickering back and forth. And for them to only relegate him to her, to Jane's conscience, I just think is, you know, I go on record as saying I thought it was a terrible mistake.
It took away 30 years of the show history.
That's right.
I mean, it was...
That's right. And they killed Emily, of course. And they've sent Ned off to somewhere. And they sent Dylan, whom I love to lock horns with. They sent him off to be a producer or something. And they killed Justice, with whom I could have had a wonderful kind of other grandfather experience, kind of the bastard grandson. But they didn't capitalize on that, and I think
of things got left in the back burner and just dwindled away, which I was really really mad about them killing it. I mean, I know Natalia wanted to leave, but they didn't have to murder her that way.
No.
There could have been so many different ways for them to write her out, for her to possibly, or even if somebody else to come back. And Stuart, that was just like a crushing moment to see him die on that show.
The irony is that the scene which won our show the Emmy as Best Show, the scene that won was the scene in the Metro Court where Alan was having a heart attack inside, and they pushed him outside into the snow and left him to writhe there in the snow. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's what won that moment won the Emmy, and then they killed him. And I think, wrong. And I said to him today when we talked, I said, I don't even know when Leslie has worked last, because I had this a couple of weeks on the in the courtroom, and that was fun and absurd. Edward would never have allowed himself to be put on a jury. He's so opinionated, but it gave me a couple of weeks of fun work to do.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be on all next week, of course, until the trial suddenly is over. I think, I don't know, on Wednesday maybe, or Thursday at the latest. And we find Johnny either guilty or innocent, as the case may be, since I won't tell.
I think everybody pretty much knows that he'll never be considered guilty regardless. He's one of those, you know,
needs
characters.
Needs to be with Lulu.
Yeah, you know what?
Exactly.
The thing is, with the way soaps are now, and it aggravates me just a tiny bit, is that they're so predictable. It's like reading a book and running to the back of the story to see the ending first, and then
then
reading it again. So that's what it's like now.
Yeah. How do you feel about the emphasis still on so much crime?
That was one of my questions for you. I don't like it. I think that General Hospital depicts too much violence, and let's start with Michael shooting. I mean, even though it was an accident, it was still a harsh thing. And it's like, even in, like, if you looked at a show like The Sopranos, no one around them, even if they knew what they did for a living, they don't speak about it as, you know, lightheartedly the way that they do on the show. You would never, ever be able to walk into a mob boss's office you know, and go, fling past their guards. I mean, like, it's like a crackpot of dialogue. It's nothing
yeah.
substantial.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
So,
I agree. No,
I mean,
I think it's so out of balance. You know, I really do.
It is
so dark, and I the fans who contact me just keep talking about fast forwarding through so many of the plot thing. You know,
yeah.
they really do, and it's none of my business what they watch or don't watch. But they
right.
say, you know, fast forward, fast forward, fast forward, and you know, hook into the stories they like and go on past the ones they don't. And yet, our show, I don't know quite how, but our show won Best Show, so.
I know. And
but none of the
saying.
Actors, none of the actors except for Tony Garry won anything. And the,
right.
again, the irony of actor work, the body of work that Tyler Christopher did for the year, I thought was very outstanding. And yet Tony, and I love Tony, but he got the award for one episode where he played six different characters. I was in that episode where he played the judge and the prosecuting attorney and the defense attorney, and then they sent him into hell or whatever. And that won him his Emmy, and I'm not minimizing his talent, because God knows he has a lot. But I think, wait a minute, you had Tyler Christopher work day after day after day after day after day, some really heart-wrenching actor work, but he didn't get recognized. So, you know, people do what they do. We learn to live with it.
You know, it's ironic too, because people are saying that they did win Best Show, because people were really, really hoping that they wouldn't win, because they felt that if General Hospital did not win Best Show, it would really open up their eyes and be like, you know what?
Yeah.
Now they feel like, we're all okay now.
Tells them that they were on the right track.
Right,
and a skewed attitude toward relationships.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know,
no.
What's interesting is that, and I must confess, I haven't watched any of the episodes, but people seem to be liking Night Shift better than they like GH. And I can't agree or disagree, but I've read several reviews saying that they like Night Shift right now has more interest, I think, in terms of human relationships, like the illness of Tristan Rogers and bringing John York back as his brother, and you know, and I, as I say, I guess they seem to be liking it.
I think that's because it's based around the hospital and not
that's
the
mob.
What
I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say.
You know,
right,
Brandon, because, I mean, you look at the definition of General Hospital, it was based on the characters out of that hospital. The Quartermains were an essential part of that hospital, and they killed off almost the entire family, and now it's based out of the coffee shop that's run by the mob and out of Sonny's living room. You know what I mean? It's like...
Don't forget Jason's apartment, John.
Don't forget Jason's apartment, too. The only time they go to the hospital is because somebody's shot. So, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, they need to change the title of it then, if that's the way that you're going to go.
Right. Happenings at Corinthos.
Yeah.
How about life in Port Charles?
Life in Port Charles, right.
The mob life in Port Charles, to be more specific.
And what's interesting is that I haven't met him yet, but the guy in The Sopranos who played Pussy, the big guy,
he's
coming on our show as the father of Max and Milo.
So they're bringing more.
He loves the show and he wanted. Yeah, that's more mob, though.
Mm-hmm.
He loves the show and he wants to be on it. So, you know, but we
Vinny
just kind of.
He's another character. He's another actor that plays in nothing but mob movies. So he's perfect for it.
Sure.
So, I mean, you know, they really need to change the name of the show if that's the route that they're going to go. That's my opinion.
Well, I wish more people would write in. And I don't know if the producers read those letters or not, but I wish more people would voice their attitude, because, you know,
absolutely.
I think
they can definitely make a change if they try. But you know what, though? I think, truthfully, the powers that be have their hearts set on this, like, little group that they got going on over there, the core characters, and nothing is going to dissuade them. I read a spoiler, which I normally don't do, but I happen to come across it, saying that this whole thing that Kelly Monaco is doing now as the undercover trying to bust the ring for the drug counterfeit drugs and stuff, she ends up getting raped. And I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, and then, you know, they tie that into Lucky and how Lucky took care of Elizabeth when that happened. So they're like kind of repeating stories.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, you know, where's the originality?
Yeah, they say, let's see, we haven't done that one in a long time. Let's do that, you know.
Yeah,
let's have a trial scene. Okay, we'll get a trial scene. Let's have a wedding and maybe something terrible happen at the wedding. Or, you know, and they say, let's pull out that old storyline that we did 3 years ago or 6 years ago or 10 years ago. And for instance, I don't know how long Jeannie is back. She's lovely.
Oh, that's another thing.
Yeah, Jeannie.
And
yeah.
I don't know whether she exists or whether or not that's in
Lulu's mind. She's in Lulu's mind.
Lulu's head, yeah, Lulu's head. We just joined her, that's all. We just joined her on screen.
When I saw her in the makeup room the other day, I said, how long are you here for? And she said, well, I'm the month of August, and then I'm going to go back to Maine for a couple of weeks, and I'll be back here for a couple more weeks. So I don't even know what that means. I think she's going to be working with Ken Schreiner, but I don't know in what capacity. And
right.
Of course, Tony Gary has been on vacation, and he's due back, I think, the middle of the month or something. So they'll obviously have them reconnect, but I don't know if she isn't in real time, if she's only in Lala time.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, they keep bringing her back, and they use her for a ratings boost
because
they know people want to see her, you know, and they tease and tease and tease about her, but they bring her back for this non-substance storyline, you know, whether it's in Lulu's mind or not. When I know that I've read and I saw on The View also, she stated that she wanted to come back, you know, and she would not be opposed to it. But they didn't offer it to her.
No, I know. I don't understand. I don't understand the machinations of Brian Franz and Bob Goose. I just kind of stay out of it, you know. And I know, for instance, I worked 2 weeks in a row. I worked 3 days, which was fun. My contract pays me one show a week, which is fine. Right? That's really all I need to keep me, you know, interested in everything. But now then I haven't worked this week, and I don't work next week. So that means that there's nothing going on with our family
because
I don't think that. I don't know whether Jane is working. She'll probably work more when Tony comes back. But that would mean that the Quartermains would be involved in it. I know I don't work next week because I asked today when I called in.
Well, that's another sin that they're committing, is underusing you as well.
I'm really the only old guy on the show that has any lightness. You know, that I really am. You've got Bruce Weitz, who is an excellent actor, of course, but he's very dark. Zatara, very dark.
Right.
So is Stephen Mox. He's very dark. And there's really no light. There's really no lightness on the show.
No, it's not. There's like a big dark shadow over it right now. Big dark cloud.
Well, you know, I think that the role of Edward has for years been sort of representative of a lot of grandfathers. Whether you hate your grandfather, or you love your grandfather, or your grandfather is cantankerous, or he's a stubborn old fool, or whatever. But that role fills a lot of needs. I get letters from young kids saying, you are my grandfather, or whatever.
Right.
I think that part of the show is missing, and the kind of grumpy harumphing that Edward gets to do is sort of typical of old people who are, you know, fed up with the younger generation, whatever, you know. And that they let me play that off of Lulu, or certainly I played it off of Dylan. Great fun, you know. I called him Chia Pet with his hair always sticking up like that. And yet they've taken him away from the show. So there's no lightness. There's no, you know, the sarcasm it kind of doesn't get to materialize. A little bit with Jane, and a little bit with Leslie, of course. But you can't build a subplot around a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law and a daughter.
No,
What kind of story is that?
Exactly. I completely agree with you. Another actress I enjoy that I think is funny, I like the chemistry between Carolyn Hennessy and Nancy Grahn. I like their chemistry together. They're very comedic. That's the nicest, you know, like, I'll watch that because it's funny. You know, it's not always... You're tired of hearing the same lines. Oh, Jason will say to Elizabeth, I can't be with you. You know we can't do this. And she'll say, don't let me do it. Okay, you can memorize those lines off the top of your head. It's like they just throw them in there, just fill dialogue.
Yeah. Well, they've all been said before, maybe by different characters, but they've been said.
God knows how long already.
I know that the character is very popular with the fans, but I wonder if Spinelli, I guess he'll continue on the show because the fans seem to adore him. I think that the kind of gibberish that I hear him speak so much, I think kind of wears, but it's unfair for me to say that because the fans love him. So I find it difficult to understand as an actor to understand some of the words that he's saying. And of course, they write him names for to call us all, you know, which is the writer's prerogative.
Hello?
Did we lose him?
You lost him?
Yeah.
John?
Oh, there you are.
Oh, there you are.
And they're very popular, and that's why they're on every day.
Right. Well, I don't know. Now, getting into the acting thing, you taught acting for nearly 20 years at Beverly Hills High School?
30. I taught 10 years at a Hollywood high from 55 through 64, and I taught theater at Beverly Hills High from 64 through 85. And
wow.
I had a wonderful 30 years of teaching, and when I retired in 85, it was wonderful because I decided, well, wait a minute, I'm just going to go do what I've been teaching these kids to do for 30 years. And and I've had, you know, comparatively remarkable success for the last 23 years, having been retired from teaching.
How did you get into acting per se in the beginning? Like, how did you get into teaching it?
Well, I of course, was a theater major in college, and then...
Mm-hmm.
And then got my master's degree at Occidental College, my bachelor's in 50, and then a Navy career, and then a master's degree. In 60, we started the summer theater festival at Occidental, a big outdoor amphitheater, which is very successful. And I did that for 10 years with them, and then had my own summer theater going at Beverly Hills High School. And then in around 83, I began to go out for calls, and I began to book jobs, and I thought, this is going to be, push is going to come to shove fairly soon, because I was booking commercials, and I was booking primetime things, and I was still teaching, which was too hard. So then in 85, when the school district said, if you're over 55, I was 57 at the time, if you're over 55, if you've taught 25 years or more and you'd like to retire early, we'll give you a 5-year golden handshake. So I just raised my hand and I said, you got it. I left, and, you know, I just had a wonderful teaching career, and I taught kids who are quite successful today, a lot of them, and I'm still friends with them and everything, and it's fun now because... You know, when I work with them, it's sort of like going home again.
Right.
We reminisce a lot.
Who was your most famous pupil?
Well,
that was my question.
Clear back at Hollywood High, I started with Barbara Hershey and Susie Kurtz and Linda Evans and Stephanie Powers.
Wow.
Mike Farrell. And then and when I moved to Beverly Hills High in 64, in my first class were Ricky Dreyfuss and Julie Kavner and Albert Brooks and Julie Cobb, and going all the way through Jolie Fisher and Jonathan Silverman and David Schwimmer and Nick Cage and more, but those are the names that are always in the front of my head, and there were plenty of more. And the nice thing about it, a lot of the people with whom I worked are in production. They're directors or producers now, and it's fun to go in on a call and have a girl, she was Roxanne Caballero when she was in school with me, and then she became Roxanne, couple of marriages, Roxanne. She was in Chorus Line on Broadway, but then she was in that Star Trek thing where she had those ridges in her head. I can't remember her name in that. Anyway, and she's a producer now on Cold Case, and so when I go in on Cold Case, I've been in on four times, and they haven't matched me up with a young actor yet, but I know they will because they've had me back four times. And
right.
But it's fun to have, you know, like when I kept wanting to be on on Will and Grace because Max Muchnick and David Kohan, who created the show, were my students, and I kept having my agent call and say, please, John wants to work on your show. We work, and it was wonderful when Richard Dreyfuss did Mr. Holland's Opus and Nick did Leaving Las Vegas that same year, and they were up for Academy Award. Some magazine, something, called me and said, now, who do you want to win? And I said, how dare you ask a question like that? I had my agent call both boys' agents, and both boys, like a day apart, called me, and we reconnected about Academy Awards and everything. And Richard told me that when he did Mr. Holland's Opus, he said, you were kind of always being discussed. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, when I went around the country promoting the film, they asked me about my drama class, etc. And he said, so I always talked about you. And, you know, I have that kind of friendship relationship history with my students, and I'm very proud of that.
That's amazing.
And so the students that ended up making it big, were they the ones you expected to, or were there surprises in there? Were there people that you thought would never make it and did?
Let me see. No. The people, for instance, Richard Dreyfuss' success was absolutely no surprise, nor was Albert Brooks, and nor was Julie Kavner's. No, none. Nobody was. There was no rich kid becomes famous sort of story. Like if I say a Tori Spelling, I don't even know her, but I'm saying it was that kind of a.
Yeah.
I had no fook because the people with whom I worked, working people.
That's amazing. It really is. Well, John, we have some fans on the phone. Are you ready to take some phone calls?
Yeah, sure. I don't have too long, but I do have a bit of time.
Okay. Hang on 1 second. Let's go here to area code 847. Say hi to John.
Hello.
847. Say hi to John.
Hello.
Am I talking to the real John?
Yes, you are.
I hope so.
Oh, Mr. Ingalls. Oh, I can't believe this. This is such an honor.
Oh,
you,
please.
You are
actor.
So strong. Lucky. You are truly our blessing, in my opinion. In my opinion, you were always the real Edward Quatermain. I heard that there was other actors before you.
Yeah.
I don't go back that far. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
Well, I mean, but as far as I'm concerned, you were always the real Edward Quatermain.
Thank you.
And you are such a superb actor. It was no surprise to me when I found out that you were teaching.
Yeah.
In the year 2000, yeah.
And I demanded the segment.
of... Are we breaking up?
Them, and then I demanded of myself, too, so...
It seems like it's natural to you. It seems like it's more than fun. It seems like it's just part of you. You do it so naturally. I'm grateful you taught it. It's not a surprise to me that the names that you just mentioned was people that learned from you. That they're as successful as they are. It's no surprise to me.
I take great pride in that. I really do. And as I say, they aren't all on camera. There are, for instance, in the movie National Treasure Book of Secrets, that last one of those National Treasures that Nick did, Jonathan Turtletaub, one of my students, directed it. You know, and so he was a wonderful young actor at Beverly Hills High School, and he's obviously a very successful director now. So I don't know. Another fun thing that I've been privileged to do, there's a cartoon series of movies called The Land Before Time that so many little children love. And I've done all 13 of those.
You?
Yeah. We've done one a year for 13 years. So I do the opening narration, and then I play the angry Triceratops father of the little girl. And if you listen to one of those speeches that the angry Triceratops says, you might find it very similar to Edward Quartermain. they have the same personality.
Well, voices are very special to me. I probably know something a lot of people don't know. I know who did the voice of Snow White, and that's never been advertised. She never got credit for it. She never got paid.
Right,
so
yeah.
I do listen to voices. Shirley Temple. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. She never got paid. She never got credited. It's not on any of the credits. But she did the voice. You have to listen very carefully. Oh, you must be grumpy. You could tell.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recognize your voice because you have a very extinguished voice. Distinguished. Am I saying it right?
I'm trying to say it right.
In the year 2004,
mm-hmm.
I selfishly wished I could win a trip down to General Hospital. I wanted to come down there and hug everybody's pain away.
Well, if, you know, we love to have people come by and visit if they come into town and somebody has a relative or something, they'll bring them around and we have lunch and all that. It's fun to share our show with people. We don't have audiences, of course, that watch it like a sitcom, because there's no space on stage for a bleachers or anything. But because we do a show, an hour show every day, and it's a real chore.
I'm glad. I'm glad that, you know, I'm selfish enough to wish that you would have more airtime. But I understand what they did to Lila. They were going to give her no. They were going to just eliminate her, and instead they ended up giving her less airtime. I'm glad they gave her the dignity. She brought more dignity. And respect
and
honor.
See, when she left the show, that really began, I think, the decline. It sounds romantic to say the decline and fall of the Quartermain Empire, because she was the matriarch, and a lot of stuff spun around her, even though she didn't have many lines. She was such a dominant figure in the house. But then when she left, then it kind of began to fall apart. So, but
I'm grateful that they keep her memory alive in the mannerism they do. I'm glad that you talk about her the way you do. I'm very, very sorry, if you forgive me for saying this, no disrespect to the other temporary replacement, but you are the real Edward Quartermain. I think it would have been a lot more poignant if you would have been there. I don't know why you left.
I have to Well, I left because they were screwing around with my contract, frankly, at ABC. And at the same time that was happening, Days of Our Lives needed an immediate replacement on a 3-year contract to replace the character of Nikki. And so they invited me over there at a nice salary and a guarantee and everything. And General Hospital was ready to write me out. And then they kept a replacement on, fortunately for me, while I was gone. And then after 2 years, they called my agent and said, would Don be willing to come back? And I said, yes, of course I would. So that's the reason I came back, whenever it was, 2 years ago.
I think that was fortunate for us, too.
Absolutely.
Fortunate for you and for us, because
yeah,
I really...
For me, too. Because I said, when I quit, I want to quit at General Hospital.
And that's it, right?
Yeah.
Well, do you think they'd give you the same respect? I hope this doesn't happen.
Well, I
really
so
pray
too.
It doesn't, but I hope they would give you the same respect that they did. Oh, God, I don't want that to happen.
Right.
I don't want to talk about that.
Well, being realistic, I'm 80 now, so I don't know how much longer Edward will be around, you know. I feel wonderful, but I'm 80, and age does play a part in, you know, how long you continue acting. Although Lila continued to be 90.
Right. 90.
Yeah.
You got more respect and honor to any character in all of daytime. I mean, she was just, I'm just grateful that you keep her memory in the honorable way that you do.
Sure.
I wish you were there that time. I know it would have been a lot stronger, but I'm glad they had a temporary replacement.
I would go into the makeup room when she was still on the show, and I would come up to her in the morning, and I would say, thank God you woke up alive this morning. I was so in hopes that you would. And she would say to me, yes, my darling, it's always such a wonderful surprise when I do. And so that was kind of the way we looked at life. It was a wonderful surprise when she woke up this morning. So.
That's fantastic.
Do you keep in touch with her family, if I may ask you?
Hmm?
Do you ever talk to her family, if I can?
Well,
I talk with Jeffrey once
in a great while. I know the other children. But and Jeffrey, I think, has moved. Where has he moved to? I can't remember. He was in Beverly Hills. He lived in her house for a while. But then he moved. I know he's still acting, but I don't know where he moved to. He married something. I don't know. And but I haven't seen the other children, you know, since her memorial service. And except
right.
for Jeffrey, I've seen.
Well, I'm glad you were there because you worked with her for how many years?
Well, I've only been on the show 14 years, so.
14 years?
Yep, that's all.
Wow.
I mean, no, 93 is when I came
93, out. 93, right. Well, it's been a fabulous 14 years. That's what I have to say about that.
Thank you.
Rita, we have to move on to other callers.
Well, thank you for giving me this honor for me to be the first one talking to him. I guess I'd just continue to listen.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Ingalls,
right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much
bye-bye.
For this honor.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Do you have anybody else? Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one more here that we'll get to. Area code 585.
Hello.
Do you have a question for John?
Hi, John. This is Ruth.
Hello, Ruth.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? I'm on.
Yes, I can.
Okay, good.
It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
And I'd like to commend you very much on your performance.
Thank you.
You're awesome, actor. And I look up to you as a man.
Good.
And I just wrote to you recently and thank you for the beautiful picture you sent me.
Oh, good. Fine. Well, my good friend Barbara Presson keeps track of all the letters and has everything, and she'll keep track of who I owe pictures to and who sent me a birthday card, and you know, so that I have to have her help because she collects things for my scrapbook, and she helps me with all the letters, and then I, you know, get the pictures out and everything.
Well,
but she's my right hand girl Friday. So.
Well, she does a wonderful job, and,
good.
Your beautiful letter with it, and I'm very very pleased, and. I can't thank you enough for your wonderful performances.
Thank you.
And we're going to start a writing campaign for you.
Okay, thank you.
And we're going to start writing in for you. And,
okay, good, please do.
We are going to, honest to God, we are. and we're going to start writing in this weekend for you. So
all right,
you'll be watching
wonderful
for some letters. And we're going to start writing in, and you watch for some letters from us.
Good.
And we're going to write the powers that be for bringing back our Quartermain family.
Absolutely.
I don't know how they can resurrect them from the dead, but I wish they could.
Oh, well.
With
they can
the magic
do it.
Of soap operas.
That's right, the magic of soaps.
There's been a lot of us that are longtime viewers of General Hospital.
Sure.
We want General Hospital back.
Good. Write them and tell them that.
Yeah, the Quartermains are General Hospital.
Well, we used to be, that's for sure.
Well, that's what we want back. We don't want all the mob bosses and the mob scenes and the killings anymore.
Right. Enough of that.
You know, I mean, I love
There's enough of that in real life.
Yes,
exactly.
Amen to that.
We don't need that. We need
to watch the news for that.
Right.
You know, and we need our family back. And that's
Good.
What we're gonna work for you.
Good.
And you be watching
Good.
For us. And there's a lady in Tennessee named Jan.
Okay,
and
good.
She's going to be sending in letters for you, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad.
So, you
I'm going to have to hang up now. I'm going to have to get gone now. But I'm glad that I've been able to talk to everybody, and I hope that, you know, we can talk again or whatever.
Absolutely,
well, thank
John. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, John, thanks for your time. See you soon,
thank
my
you.
Friend.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Well, that was a fantastic honor having him on the show, I have to say.
Yes, it was.
It was nice.
Too short, but definitely an honor.
Yeah, but he certainly shared a lot about his life, how much he'd done as an acting coach and as an actor. It was very enlightening that what he told us tonight.
Yes, it was. Right, Brandon? He came to a lot of good points.
Yes, he was very candid about the show also, very, very bravely candid.
Yeah, exactly.
Not many actors are very candid about shows, about the situation on their shows. But
exactly.
He spoke on it pretty well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he can see it like that and say it, I mean, then I think that there is room to be written out there for people to really honestly start a writing campaign and, you know, demand their show back, seriously.
Yeah, it's true. 100% true. I want to touch on the, we mentioned earlier about the situation right now, his storyline right now in the courtroom. Being a juror, one of the jurors on there, you know, Pippney's on there too, played by Sonia Eddy, a friend on the show, Sonia Eddy. And I'm telling you, geez, they went back and forth, the banter between these two. It was so funny. You know, being jurors. Now, you imagine Eric Quartermain on the same jury with Pippney Johnson. You talk about button heads. That's how two fans running into each other. Pang!
I know. I mean, I wanted to say, well, I guess that we got our answer. Because Anthony Zaccara did plant a juror on there, so I'm assuming that I assumed it was him, but I don't know.
No, I think it's probably that old woman that Edward was flirting with. I think she's probably the one.
Okay, I haven't seen it in the last 2 days, but I'll like after I watched it when they did the initial jury selection, and that was it. But I think that they're just starting to get a little too far-fetched, you know, with the way that they're doing things, especially with the court system. I mean, in all reality, I mean, I know it's a soap and a story, but to let Scott Baldwin serve as special prosecutor when it was the murder of his son is so, so, so far-fetched. It's just insane.
Yeah, and someone like Edward would never be on that jury in real life. I mean, there's just,
no.
There's no way that either lawyer would
approve
it.
Absolutely not. He would be gone. Says, I'd say, as soon as he made that statement, I don't like Andy Sicar, and he is guilty as hell. Boom, he would have been out of there. So long.
Exactly.
So long.
Was Greg Vaughn on it all this week?
Hmm?
Greg Vaughn, was he on this week?
I believe he was.
I think he was on yesterday. I know that. as far as I know, because he was in the scene with Nicholas and the San Antonio talking to Lulu about the trial.
Right.
But other than that, I haven't seen him much this week. It was a bad course. It's a short week, of course.
That's true.
So, yeah, it probably weren't. There wasn't many scenes that he was in, but he did make an appearance. I know that.
Well, I don't know. I'm just I'm happy that we got the chance to listen to John's opinions on the show, and it was very enlightening and very candid. Absolutely.
Good. Well,
I agree. Bravely candid.
100%.
Go ahead, Brandon. Go ahead, Brandon.
No, I just said bravely candid. I was actually quite surprised at the level to which he expressed his true feelings. It was pretty surprising.
Yeah, well, the last interview we had like that was with Eileen Kristen. She didn't hold back either.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
she
exactly
said what she had to say.
I was going to mention a little earlier. He mentioned a little about how much Anna Lee was as playing Lila on General Hospital. He got to work. I don't know if he got to work with another legend over there on Days of Our Lives, Frances Reed. I don't know if she was still working there or not, but at the time he was over there. But
I believe
she was. She's a mainstay over that show as much as Anna Lee was on General Hospital.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't working regularly, but she made appearances off and on.
Right. Right, because mm-hmm. she's not in good health as well, so she hasn't been pretty much working on in a while. But when you do see her, meaning on holiday shows or whatever it is, or if there's a death in the family somewhat, yeah, you do see her. But most of the time, she's pretty much, you know, retired.
Yeah. What about One Life to Live this week?
Oh, gee.
I thought Tess and Tina were a riot together.
Who?
Tess and Tina.
Yes, I saw that episode.
Oh,
I watched
God.
That tonight, yeah.
I, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Brie, as we've discussed, but I tell you what, Andrea Evans brought out the absolute best in her this week. They were a riot together.
Yeah, so because all the scenes they did, especially down at
where
Tess Tina
locked her in the room, yeah.
Yeah, locked her in the room. That the dog found the room. Tina just followed down the dog in the cell in that secret room, and then locked Tina in that room.
I didn't see it today, so I don't know what happened with that. But
I didn't see it today yet either.
No, they didn't have Tina. They didn't have Tina today, but Tess did go ahead with her plan to try to separate Natalie and Jarrett,
yeah,
because
mm-hmm.
she drugged Natalie with that tea. And sleep. She drugged her with that tea because she's been wanting to start her master plan. Because no, Jarrett is off in Columbia right now searching for Langston's uncle. But I mean,
right.
Ray Montez, which means, you know, A. Martinez is going to play that role, starring, and I think in less than a week and a half on September 9th,
yeah,
when he's supposed to make his debut. But that's where Jarrett is. And as long as Jarrett's down there, that means Tess can isolate Natalie away from Jarrett by sticking her down and by drugging her and sticking her down that empty room. And then she's going to force Tina to help her with that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Well, All My Children seems to be turning a corner. You know, I kind of like what they're doing with Kendall and Zach. They're making Zach more in tune to the fact that Kendall just can't stay out of nobody's business. And he's calling her on it, and he's putting her in her place, which I really like.
Yeah, because Kendall doesn't know when to leave things alone, you know, when she especially is when it comes to Ryan. You know, she thinks that Ryan's still up Greenlee, and she still thinks Annie's trying to do this and that. I mean, Kendall needs to stay out of his business. I mean, she's got to worry about her own marriage right now. And she's still thinking, Ryan's her friend. I know Ryan's her friend, but come on. You're a married woman. Stay out of the man's business, okay?
Yeah.
Deal with.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. That's why I like what they're doing with Zach and how he he's crawling around it. And I haven't seen the last couple of days, but what I don't like is what they're doing to Colin Egglesfield, and they're turning him into a thief, so to speak, I think it is.
I think this is because of the fact they put him on recurring now.
Yeah.
And they're turning Josh into like a thief, and they're going to have him run out of town, have him leave town. But it won't be out until after Zach's thugs rough him up.
Right. Well, I think that if they were going to write Josh out, they should have sent him off to Africa with Jamie and Jeff, with Doctors Without Borders, instead of turning him into a thief. Because he didn't lack for money. You know, he had tons of money. So to turn him into a thief, it was just a little asinine, I think.
I don't know. I don't think I know that he really did it. I think he probably was set up.
Maybe, but, you know, even to insinuate that it was him is still asinine, you know. It's like he didn't want for nothing. He was a doctor. He was a Madden. He was this. He was that. He had money.
That's true.
You know, so it's not like he was some destitute, you know. For crying out loud, he's Erica King's kid.
Absolutely.
I think they didn't know what to do with the character. And
yeah, well, I mean, common sense would tell you to write him off and send, he's a doctor, send him off with Jeff and Jamie. Send him off to be with the rest of the family in Africa.
Yeah, but that implies that people over there are using common sense, and I'm not sold on that.
This is so true, so true. Yeah, I mean, and even that, like, you know what? I'm going to bring Georgette on for the last minute here. She probably don't want to come on, but Georgette, say what you just said.
Hook him up with someone, man. I've been talking about this for years, 2 years now. Hook him up.
Yeah, he needed a woman, that's for sure.
I was all for Josh and Babe, all for it, but with Alexa, all for it, and they ruined my dreams.
Yeah, well, it seems that they ruined a lot of dreams, so, you know, kind of joined the club. Well, anyhow, guys, we're winding down to the last 2 minutes. Let me run down the calendar for everybody that's still listening. Monday, Daniel Kennedy, who plays Petey Cortland. He'll be on the show, so it'll be nice for everybody to show up and show him some support. He's a really nice kid. Tuesday, Kristen Alderson. Wednesday, Chriselle Staus. Thursday is nothing right now. Friday, we have a doubleheader with Jason Tam at 9 o'clock, and then Bob Guinea and Eden Regal will be at 10:30. To talk about their cooking show, Cooking to Get Lucky.
Next Friday, for the 12th.
Jason Tam's on next Friday at 9. So that's going to be a pretty nice week. I tried to get Brittany to come on in there. I sent her an email, so we'll see what happens.
Get her for Thursday. If you get her for Thursday, then it'll be great.
I haven't spoke to her in a while. She's been really busy, and she doesn't have internet at the moment. So, I don't know, maybe I could call and find out and see what's going on, see if she could come on either with Jason or by herself.
Well,
yeah,
that would be nice if she came in
on
Thursday and
on
filled
it
up the week.
That
would be cool.
That would be cool.
But anyway, all right, well, we're winding down now, guys, so make sure everybody go rate the show when we're done, and go visit the website and sign up for the email alerts. And, I don't know, enjoy your weekend, because I know I'm about to go to bed and nurse this cold.
Yes, that's right, Joanne. Lots of liquids and bed rest and no talking for at least a day.
I know. That's kind of hard when you got the two boys that I do, boy. I'll tell you that right now. Guys. Well, you enjoy your weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday. And I guess we'll leave with Eden, being that it's the longest promo that I have to take us out. All right. Everybody have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Night, Joanne.
Thanks. Night,
all right,
Brandon.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Good night, Brandon.
Night, Tony.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm Eden Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.